Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Today's program was brought to you by Fairway Market, like no other market. A New York City institution that sells the best local, national, and international artisan foods for prices that can't be beat. For more information, visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hey, 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 I'm Jimmy Carboni from Beer Sessions Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, and welcome to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jolie Kerr, a cleaning expert, advice columnist, and author of the New York Times bestselling book, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag, and Other Things You Can't Ask Martha. My column, Ask a Clean Person, appears on Deadspin.com, and my guests today are Casey Johnston and Cesar Torres of The Sweet Home. Hi, Casey and Cesar.
Hi.
Hello.
Super excited to have you guys here. The Sweet Home is one of my favorite sites because it is indispensable for me to do my job. I'm going to have you guys explain a little bit more about the site. Let me introduce you first, more officially. Casey Johnston is the lead editor of The Wirecutter and The Sweet Home. Prior to that, Casey went to engineering school for applied physics. That is all going to make a lot more sense when we get into what more specifically they do at the Wirecutter and the Sweet Home. And she worked as a tech journalist at Ars Technica. She has also written for The All, as I have, Matter, Hazlitt, and Vice. Cesar is the managing editor at the Wirecutter and the Sweet Home. He is also the author of the sci-fi novel 13 Secret Cities, published by Solar Six Books. So I mentioned that I love The Sweet Home. It is one of my go-to sources, along with Consumer Reports and the Good Housekeeping Institute, when I want to give my readers and listeners product recommendations. I'm going to have you guys describe the mission and point of view of the two sites, The Sweet Home and The Wirecutter, for our listeners. Before I let you do that, I'm going to say that I like The Sweet Home so much more than Consumer Reports and Good Housekeeping Institute because it's like human. It's human. And those two are kind of not super human. They're super, but they're not human. So anyway, so I'm going to have you guys...
flesh and bone and soul. Yeah.
Yes. And that comes through in the writing. So I'm going to have you guys, just in your own words, describe what the mission and the point of view of the two sites is.
Great. How about I describe The Wirecutter and then Casey can talk about Sweet Home.
That sounds perfect.
Yeah, The Wirecutter is a guide that recommends the best technology for people. So we do lots of research and testing. And for those of you who have never visited the site, it's thewirecutter.com. And you can find our recommendation for the best product across the category for pretty much anything. Bluetooth speakers, computers.
Vacuum cleaners.
Vacuum cleaners.
Yes.
The Sweet Home, the pitch is very similar, finding the best products in lots of different categories, but it's all focused on home stuff. Vacuum cleaner is probably more of a Sweet Home thing. Electric toothbrushes, LED bulbs.
Mascara.
Mascara is a new one.
I just saw you guys did the mascara one.
Yes.
So totally off topic for what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about lube briefly. And we're going to spend most of our time talking about laundry detergent, but a little off topic, they just published the guide to mascaras, and it was the Buxom brand, which I always see at Sephora, and I've never bought.
It is a Sephora exclusive brand. It's actually the Buxom, specifically the waterproof one.
Okay.
Is our pick, yes.
Okay. And that's Sephora exclusive?
It is.
Okay.
Buxom
cool.
is part of Bare Essentials.
It's very interesting how all these things
everything in real life is owned by like Estee Lauder and L'Oreal. I found out
it's amazing, isn't it? Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, you think about the different way that these products are all marketed, and really it's all going in the same pocket.
Pretty
it's
much
so interesting that they're in competition with themselves.
Yeah,
but that's the market.
Yeah, that is it. Yeah. That is it.
So, in any event, so yeah, I saw that and I was very excited because I am due up for a new mascara? Because mascara is the one makeup that you like have to replace, and you actually really, really, really have to replace often. I think the rule is, I wrote about this recently, I think the rule is every 3 months, which seems so extreme to me, but...
Every 3 months? I would say every 3 months if you do use it, like, every day. You could probably get away with every 4 to 6 if it's, like, a weekend thing or, like, an occasional night thing for you. It's just, like, it gets gross with your eye.
Yeah. And the reason for that, even as we go wildly off topic, this happens all the time to me. The reason for the need to replace mascara so often is because of the plunging motion that breeds excess... And Angels of Act, it's on your eyes. So anyway, but that's another show. I'm going to have Casey back and we'll talk about makeup and cleaning. Because makeup is a bear to clean, which we're going to get into a lot in the second segment when we talk about laundry detergent. But before we do that, as we were preparing for the show, Cesar told me that one of the guides that he is working on is for personal lubricant. And I promise that this little segment will not be as X-rated as last week's program with Maureen O'Connor on sex stains. We'll keep this to PG-13 rated. But I quickly wanted to talk a little bit about lube stains in particular, because it is a good follow-up on last week's show when we were talking about sexual messes in general. And then I also had just like a curious monkey question for Cesar about how they're testing. So what I wanted to talk about when it comes to lube stains is the difference between the two primary kinds of lube, which in the testing that the Sweet Home is going to do on this is I already know without knowing that this is going to come up, but essentially the two kinds of lube that you're going to find out there are water-based or silicon-based.
That's correct. That's generally what's out there.
Yeah. And some people have a preference for one or the other just on feel, as you might imagine. The silicone ones tend to get a little bit of a higher rating in terms of the feel of them. They are a bit more slippery. The reason that they are not as popular as the water-based ones is that they are a bear to get out stain-wise. So from a stain perspective, if you have very nice sheets, or if you're just a person who is annoyed by stains or who doesn't want to do laundry very often, stick with the water-based one. If you don't, you are going to end up like my reader Abigail, who wrote this question to me. Actually, Cesar, do you want to read this question? Do you want to pretend that you're reader Abigail and read this, and then we'll talk a little bit about what we do about silicon.
Abigail's going to sound a little hoarse. it's that middle one, yeah?
Yeah,
great.
Question one.
Dear clean person, I had an amazing weekend, but now I am stuck with silicone lube stains on my nice cotton duvet. Is there any saving it? I've already washed and dried, and I didn't even know it was silicone-based. There are so many naysayers on the internet, but I believe in you. All right. So,
I love that question. I love it because she believes in me. I believe in you, Abigail.
Can I ask first what a silicone-based lube stain does actually look like?
Yeah, so let's talk about what we did, what we're working on. That guide is publishing this fall.
Awesome. So I'm very excited for that. And I'll tell you that Maureen O'Connor, who was here with me last week, who is the sex columnist for New York Magazine, was particularly excited when I told her you guys were working on that. She was like, I'm going to be on the lookout for that. I'm going to listen to this show. So I think I'll take Casey asked a very good question. It basically, a silicone lube stain will look like a grease stain.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to give the same appearance of a grease stain. Like if you, grease stains are a bear. They really are. I have a trick for that. I'll tell you after the show.
Okay.
But yeah, Cesar, I'm curious. I have ideas of how to treat the stains, but I actually want to hear from you.
Yeah, sure. So let me just kind of give you guys a bit of a hint, too, on what some of our picks were. Because, there are these two categories, and we're always very happy to kind of shed light on some of the picks that are coming up in these guides. But we wanted to find the best lube for most people. So this is going to be sort of where your listeners might want to sort of take some notes and think about, am I the average person? Because for most people, what we looked for was a combination of how it feels, how it smells, how it tastes, how long it lasts. And then we also looked at stains as a sort of a secondary factor. And for sure, across the board in our tests with laundry, silicone stains, just like you said. It's a grease stain. And in our testing, we didn't actually try to work on hard removal methods. What it did do, though, is every time we applied silicone lube to a sheet, it stayed in there kind of permanently.
It stayed, yeah.
And that's been my own personal experience in using those products. Mm-hmm. Silicone lubes are some of the best. If you want the best feel, they're pretty amazing. They're very easy to work with. But,
You know. It's a huge trade-off when you're choosing.
Total trade-off.
Yeah, it really is. It's feel over, the stain factor. And the stain factor isn't a small factor. So, I know some people will have sort of a dedicated set of sheets. If that's what their preference is. We should also talk a little bit about, I do have a couple of stain removal tricks. I even wrote them down in longhand.
I would love to hear them because,
And then we should team up and we should do a more extensive study on all these tricks that I have. So,
yeah.
So the first thing is actually just to talk about the water-based lubricant, because water-based lubricant will stain. It won't stain permanently, and it's actually very easy to remove. So if you do end up with a sort of spot on your sheet, best thing to do is just pre-treat it with a laundry stain-removing spray. Pick an enzymatic one because it's likely that lube stain also contains elements of protein stain. My old rule of thumb is if it comes out of you, it's a protein stain. We won't, because we're trying to keep this a little bit cleaner than last week's, we won't go any further than that. So a good enzymatic stain removing treatment like Zout is very good. And then just launder it and you'll be fine. If you have a silicone based lube stain, if you can treat it while it's fresh, which I understand is about the least sexy thing I could possibly recommend. But if you can treat it when it's fresh, you're going to have a much better chance of getting it out. A little bit of dish soap or even liquid laundry detergent just like on a fresh stain is really, really going to help. Because again, it does have many of the properties of a grease stain. For older stains, again, because it has properties of a grease stain, you can use a citrus degreasing product. Zep makes a very good one. Desolvit, which is DESOLV-IT. So desolve it. Is another very good one. So those are sprays. You spray them on the stain, let it penetrate. It's an unfortunate choice of words on my part. And then launder it. Another thing that will work is toy cleaner, personal toy cleaner, not like Lego cleaner. Personal toy cleaner. There's a brand called Wet. Yeah.
Is that the same brand as the brand for lubricants?
Yes, it is. So great. Wet is a brand that makes a number of different products. They make a lubricant. They also make a toy cleaner called Keep It Clean. That will work. There are other toy cleaners out there. That's just one name to mention for people to look out for. The other two things to try, dry cleaning fluid. If you feel comfortable working with heavy-duty solvents, dry cleaning fluid will do it. There's also a product called K2R, which... is a weird and very good product. You can find it at the hardware store, find it at Amazon, those kinds of places. That works in a way that's similar to dry cleaning solvents, but it's a little bit easier for an at-home user to use. So those would be my recommendations for people with silicone lube stain issues.
I want to try those out.
Okay. All right. Well, I want you to try this because I actually would like to have the full Sweet Home testing suite of of methods.
You want to know what we did?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but which leads me right into, we have another minute or so before we have to kick to a break. I want to ask, this is a little personal, but I want to know, like, how are you testing the lubes? Like you said, you were tasting them. That's one of them, which is a big thing. And there are flavored lubes out there. I would be definitely curious to know if the flavored ones end up staining a little bit more, because I think that they often also have a pigment in them that goes along with the flavor. Like the lime would be green lube, you guys. Sounds really gruesome.
Well, I'll give you the Cliff's Notes version of everything we did.
Okay.
First of all, we excluded flavored ones because we were going for what works for most people.
Okay.
And that kind of stuff, the ones with tingly kind of chemicals, etc. We just removed those. We went for like your basic lubes. What we do first is we look at other reviews. We quickly removed some lubes based on some of the ingredients that were more controversial.
Okay.
What we ended up with was a list of about 15 that I sat down and actually tested on the back of my wrist.
Okay.
Tasted, smelled, but I actually kind of tasted and drank little bits of lube. It was very interesting, which is how we ended up with Good Clean Love for our top pick,
okay.
The water-based, because it actually has a very good taste if you happen to get it in your mouth.
Right.
And then as the last step, we actually sent out the 10 lubes that we selected to couples that could test them out at home for a few weeks. And then they sent
so
us their feedback.
Okay. So I figured that there was some element of, you know, actual, look, that's
real people tested
real
this
people
and we used,
them.
It was different genders, different, you know, sort of sex lives and orientations.
And so, very, very interesting. All right. Well, on that note, this is a good time for us to take a quick break. Casey Sesser and I will be back in just a minute to talk all about laundry detergent, a little cleaner. I'm Jolie Carr. This is Ask a Clean Person, the podcast.
Yes, and this break song is called Meeting at the Docks, and it's by Rectech, the one and only Rectech. We'll be right back after a short break. Still paying attention? Are you there? Hello, 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 hello. I'm talking to you. Hi. Hey, this is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here at Heritage Radio Network. I've been here at the station since 2009, and I cannot believe just how much this network has grown over that time. We've been able to grow because of donations from people like you. So if you're enjoying this, if you laughed, if you learned something, contribute anything. $1, $2, $10, $100, $1,000, anything counts. And trust me, we'll appreciate seeing your name come through on the donations. So consider visiting heritageradionetwork.org, click on that little beating heart, the donate button, and show us you care. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show.
Hi, I'm Steve Jenkins from Fairway Markets. I've devoted my idiot career to the old ways, the old recipes, the old tools, the old geography of where serious foods come from for centuries. And I've strived to make these wonderful things available to New Yorkers for 37 years. So it's a fait accompli for us to support Heritage Radio Network. And I hope you will too, and I hope you'll keep tuning in. For more information, please visit fairwaymarket.com.
Hello, and welcome back to Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. I'm Jolie Carr. My guests today are Casey Johnston and Cesar Torres from The Sweet Home. We've been talking about personal lubricants and about how The Sweet Home tests the products that they're going to recommend. So we heard a little bit about how they handled the testing of the personal lubricants, which was just interesting to me, I guess, because listen, my readers and my listeners know that I have a dirty mind, clean person, dirty mind. And so actually on the break, Casey was just telling me that they are starting to work on a guide for condoms.
That's correct.
Yeah. And you're going to use a panel
we
approach.
Are, yes, similar approach to lube. We are... we're actually just about to send out the testing packets to all of the panelists. But, condoms are going to be lots of different sizes, lots of different
I'll be curious about the size thing.
Yes,
size. Because I actually kind of think this... we hope.
You know?
You're lucky. I kind of believe that the size thing with condoms is not actually an issue because I've seen those things stretch.
They do stretch, but
I think men like to, like, you know.
There was an article recently that was like, men make too big a deal out of how like uncomfortable condoms are.
If I can add something here, I think most men are definitely falling in that average category.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen
well, that's why I call it average. Yeah.
Well, we are here.
There are a few outliers, so I guess some people do need the help.
We are here to answer that question in force and be like, listen, if you have a size problem, we're going to test all sizes and we will be able to tell you, like, you're this big, here's the condom exactly for you, and there will be no more complaining about sizing issues or a condom being too small, or like you're buying it too big because you think too much of yourself or whatever. It's gonna, we're gonna take care of all of it.
I would have loved to have been in the room as you picked out the panelists, right? Because you have to get a cross section.
I wasn't even in that room. We have a wonderful writer, Bianca Jarvis, who actually also did our sex toys guide. And she handled all of the sort of canvassing of panelists and picking them and getting all like a diverse representation of not only sizes, but like sexual orientations and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Singles and couples also. Yeah. So we have a lot of people in there and it's going to be great.
Are you testing female condoms?
Oh, man. I don't.
Oh, no. Did I just throw a wrench in this?
I think we might be testing a couple of them.
Okay.
It's not the main focus.
Yeah.
For
well, because
sure.
they're not so regularly used as to, I think, rise to the occasion.
After all these years, a female condom is still kind of...
It really hasn't taken off.
Yeah. Even for gay men. Like, it's just not that popular.
Yeah.
But it works.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's totally switch gears and talk about laundry detergent. So the timing of this is incredible to me because I don't even think we knew quite how close to timing was going to be when we scheduled you to join me for this. But the Sweet Home actually just updated its detergent recommendations last week. So this is like amazing timing. One of the reasons I like the site so much, I said when we were, when I was introducing you guys, that the site is so human and it is so human. And in reading the new recommendations, one of the things that I loved so much was that it's so transparent about how the testing was done from the first set of recommendations to the second, which the first set was really done more based on user feedback than actual like laboratory testing type stuff. And the second round was really done like Good Housekeeping Institute style with the swatches and the multiple rounds of laundry, and it was photographed and it was fascinating and it was long. So we have so much to talk about this because the article was so dense. I will link to that piece in the companion post that goes up with this podcast so that people can read it, and they should. It's incredibly well arranged. It's arranged if you are interested specifically in baby detergents, there's a section that you can easily jump to read all about the baby detergents, same with green detergents, pods, laundry pods. Now you guys found that you're kind of down on the laundry pods.
We are.
You also are down on the baby detergents.
Yes.
And a little bit down on the free and clear eco, and we'll talk about the reasons why for all of those. Not that they're bad products, but just that the thing with all of them was sort of what you found was you don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need them.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, and they're spendy. You'll spend more for them, and that's the marketing ploy.
That's the case for a lot of baby stuff, I think, across a lot of products. Sometimes it's really necessary. Other times it's just sort of marketing.
Exactly. And in fact, this morning, as I was doing my final prep for the show, I was emailing with a girlfriend who is expecting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we were talking about the laundry. She's already primed up. She's like, I have so many questions. I started an email chain with her. And I said, just put every, for the next, like, 5 years, put every question in here, and then I'm just going to turn this email chain into a book. And it'll be great. So thank you. You're going to do half my work for me.
Amazing.
So this morning we started to talk about detergents, and I told her exactly that. And she's a devotee of the Sweet Home also, so she had already read it. But we had a whole interesting conversation. She said this is her quote that was funny. She said, I've decided that Dreft is a crock.
Wow.
I was like, well, it's a good laundry detergent, but it is spendier and you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
So all right, I'm gonna tell our listeners what the current choice is.
Yeah, go for it.
So the current choice is Tide plus bleach alternative HE liquid. Casey, do you want to talk a little bit about the HE detergent rules?
Sure.
And how those work?
I mean, it's very simple. HE is high efficiency, right? Yeah. I'm sorry. I should know that.
That's okay. No. I think people who like us work with this stuff, we get so used to saying HE that we forget what it actually stands for.
We know it.
So high efficiency machines, one of the ways in which they work and are high efficiency is that they use low water. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, sudsing becomes a huge issue with that, and that's why there are special detergents, and then you can sort of pick up from there.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there are HE and non-HE detergents. The thing about HE detergents, you can use them in any machine. You cannot use a non-HE detergent in a HE machine.
Right.
So
exactly.
An HE detergent is
universal.
All-purpose.
Yes. Yeah, it's universal. It's going to be for any machine, but right. A non-HE is not universal.
Right.
It should only be used in standard regular washing machines.
Right.
Another thing to add about that, the American Cleaning Institute cautions that there are detergents that will label themselves as HE compatible.
Hmm.
That is a lie. That's a marketing lie. I used to work in marketing, so I secretly am like, good on you, marketing people, for pulling one over. That's your job. It's to pull one over.
So when they say HE compatible, that means it's a non-HE detergent.
It is. Yeah, it's tricky. So just be careful, and not all of them, but be very careful. That if you see the words HE compatible, just know that your little antenna should go up, and maybe don't take the chance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my...
And you have nothing to lose by just buying an HE, fully HE...
That's right.
...detergent.
That's right. Exactly. The Sweet Home in this guide also offers a few other selection of very good recommended detergents. So I want to read those off to you. The runner-up is Tide Ultra Stain Release Liquid. The reason that was a runner-up was that it was a touch pricier per load. The Tide that they recommend was, I think, 36 cents a load, and the Ultra Stain Release was 40 cents a load, and was very good on certain stains, but was less good on other stains. So the Tide plus bleach alternative HE liquid was the one that really across the board kind of got them all. Mm-hmm. But the Ultra Stain Release one was very good, too. Their green pick... is Ecover Zero Powder. That's also going to be any kind of green or eco-friendly picks are going to be the ones that will be very good for anyone with allergies. Although there was quite a lot of information about detergent allergies and the fact that basically no one really has a detergent allergy. It's irritation. You're not allergic. You're just slightly irritated.
And it could have something to do with how you do your laundry or if you follow the instructions or not.
Right.
On how much detergent to
put
in.
More often than not, it's not the detergent. It's the fact that you're using way, way, way too much.
Mm-hmm.
And as actually a side note, I want to mention this for women. I'm sorry that this is a little bit personal, but for women who are prone to yeast infections, you should be very diligent about not overdosing on your detergent. Oftentimes, having too much detergent in your laundry means that the laundry won't wash clean, and having an excess of soap in your underwear will cause irritation and can lead to yeast infection. So if you're noticing that that's happening, you know, switch to a free and clear type, sure. But more importantly, stop using so much. Even think about maybe running your underwear through just a plain hot cycle to like force any excess detergent out. We are going to talk about hot and cold too, because
mm-hmm.
the Sweet Home has a very, very definite point of view on hot and cold water. The last pick to mention is their budget pick, which is Kirkland's Ultra Clean Liquid. That's Kirkland is the Costco store brand.
Yes.
There was another budget pick that got knocked out, which was the Target Up and Up.
Mm-hmm.
That's still recommended, and in part that's recommended because not everybody has access to Costco.
Right.
It's a membership club, and not everywhere.
But you can find it on Amazon now.
Oh, can you? Kirkland?
Yes.
Oh,
really?
So yeah. Some of those products are showing up.
You can also shop Costco online. You still need a membership, I guess, but you can buy Costco stuff online.
Okay.
I found out.
All right.
It's actually
one
of the reasons it came in into this particular guide for our new picks, because
it's
starting to be available there.
A lot of arguments.
Of access.
Or not a lot of arguments. We had contentions about should we include the house brands of retail chains that require membership, or like whether, like, if that's not available to everybody, should it be in contention? And we decided yes for Kirkland, at least. And
I think Costco is widespread enough that it's worth including with the asterisk.
Right. Saying, it's like, worth it for people to know that, because it was an extremely good detergent, and it's very, very cheap.
It's very cheap. It was like, I'm 5 cents a load was, there was
no,
one.
It
Sun
was
5 cents a load. Yeah, that was, but that wasn't recommended.
I want to say it was in the teens.
But it was in the teens.
18 cents a load?
16 cents, 18 cents?
Yeah.
Something like that. It was very
expensive.
In a pinch,
we all know somebody who has a Costco membership.
Sure.
So just go ask them to pick it up.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, and there was an alternative, because the Target house brand, the Up and Up, was one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anyone can walk into a Target.
Yeah.
So here, I want to ask... I'm going to read a very short reader question. I did over the summer, and I'm going to make it kind of a recurring feature of Ask a Clean Person, the column. I did a whole month this summer called Laundry School for Deadspin, where I answered shorter questions and met more of them per column, and sort of broke them up, like understanding your machines, understanding products, like wrinkles was a big thing. And so I got a lot of questions, some of which I could get to and some of which I can't, and then I will continue to do laundry school from time to time. But this was one of the laundry school questions from reader Michael. He asked, is there a difference between the cheap and expensive laundry detergent? It's a really good question.
It's a great question. As a rule, it's hard to say. I mean, it varies a lot. On average, expensive detergent, the reason it's expensive is the company is doing a lot more R&D, putting a lot more R&D into what they're doing. So it's like an inexpensive detergent might get you like 80% of the way, but like Tide is going to put in like lots and lots of research into getting that extra 20% for you to like bring it all the way. But that said, there are sort of diamonds in the rough with cheap detergents also. Kirkland is one of those. Our writer for this guide, Lee Creech Berner, who is amazing, like an incredible science background, is extremely thorough.
I'm going to insist that everyone go look at this post just for the photos of how Lee, which we're going to talk about in a second. The photos of how Lee tested this are crazy, crazy person, crazier than me.
She also helped us on our lube guide, by the way.
She's incredible, and I spoke to her a little bit this morning just to make sure I had everything straight, and she said Kirkland is an amazing detergent. It is not the best, but it's really, really good and just worth it if you have access to it and you don't want to spend literally twice as much money on detergents. It's a great, great detergent. It came in third, I think, in most stains, like second or third.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful. You can get an inexpensive detergent that will get your clothes clean.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's the difference.
So, yeah. So I thought, I liked the question because it's a natural question that people who are not us would ask.
Right.
You know, actual humans who don't do this for a living.
Of course.
And I liked it because the answer is so nuanced. It's like, well, regular human, how much time do you have for us to explain this to you? So,
and there's a few stains that sort of make the difference, right?
Yes.
Like if you're trying to level up and you're trying to cover things like blood, then we do make the recommendations for it. These will actually get that out.
Exactly.
And in some cases, there are some, you know, many of us maybe aren't dealing with blood stains as often.
Right.
You know, you might want to pick something else, and we make those picks based on sort of what people might need.
So, yeah, right. Yeah. I actually just this week have been dealing with blood stains. So that's, it's like you knew. Every once in a while where it's just like, ugh.
Wine, too.
Rash of blood stains all of a sudden. I hear wine all the time. Well, because you'd imagine I hear wine all the time. Probably because I drink it. I'm thrilled that you said that because it leads nicely into, I want to talk a little bit about how Lee tested all of this. It was fascinating to me and so weird. I actually learned a lot of kind of weird little things that I picked up that are to the left of the best laundry detergent, but to me were very interesting. So the way that she tested this, they picked their selection, they winnowed down in much the same way that Sessor described them winnowing down the lubes that they were going to
to test, right? Because you can't test everything. There are hundreds of laundry detergents out there. So they winnowed the list down, and then they did a preliminary set of testing, got the list down even to a shorter list, and did a second round of testing in the machine. The first round of testing, Lee got swatches from a company called Test Fabrics. And at Test Fabrics, they offer all different standard swatches with whatever stains you want. And she washed those. This was so funny. The picture of this is amazing. She washed them in a wearing stand mixer, like a KitchenAid, you know, yep. Like in her kitchen, which I thought was so brilliant.
I know, that's so clever.
It was such a clever way. But these were the swatches that she picked out for the testing. Blood, grass, oil, coffee, chocolate, lipstick, tomatoes, blueberries, and red wine. So those were common. And I think, you know, as I was reading the list, I thought, yeah, that seems right. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, of all the swatch issues, this doesn't have to do really with the laundry detergent, it has to do with the stains. Of the swatches she tested, the two most difficult stains were blueberries and lipstick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I would have guessed that. Lipstick, I would have. And the reason is that lipstick is a combo stain.
Right.
It's a grease stain, and it's also a pigment stain.
Right.
So it's a double whammy, which makes it very, very difficult. And also, it's not your standard grease stain. It's a more of like viscous grease stain.
It's like polymers and not
well,
so much.
Polymers and lipids in there sometimes.
Yeah, and wet, waxy.
That's just gonna be tough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But the blue, I mean, I know the, look, the blue, purple and red stains, right? Mm-hmm. The grape juice, the strawberries, those are like every mom's nightmare. Mm-hmm. I hear this all the time. There's actually a stain product that's made by the Wine Away people called Red Erase that's mm-hmm. specifically for like those kid stains, the juice, the grapes, the grape jelly, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't have expected that blueberry was so dastardly.
Yeah, I don't know what it is in blueberries that makes it so like permanent.
Yeah,
I remember asking her about this, and she said that blueberry was a very hard stain to assess because some detergents deal with it. It's almost like blueberry has actually two different colors in it because some detergents make blueberry stains sort of brown or reddish.
Yes.
That's how they deal with it. And some of them make them more purple.
Yes. And Lee's theory was that the liquids, it was a difference between liquid and powder in the way that they responded to a blueberry stain, which was so extra weird to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no explanation for why this all happened this way, but it was just there were these interesting little pockets of information that didn't actually have to do with laundry detergent, that really just were about the nature of different stains. So, I mean, of course, I would find that interesting. Probably no one else does, but that's all right.
No, I thought it was great.
A few other of these little things that I pulled out that I wanted to mention. First, before we go on, I should say, you guys, the Sweet Home is super pro cold water wash.
Yes.
Yeah. You want to talk about why?
Yeah, sure. During our testing, I believe it was during the first version of the guide, Lee found that washing clothes... At first, she did, I think, a range of temperatures. Or maybe she only did warm and cold.
She did warm and cold. Which is right. Yeah.
And found that water temperature did not make a substantial difference in how well detergent was able to take out stains.
Yeah.
So it's like, just wash your clothes in cold water always. It never makes a difference to use warmer water.
Yeah. So IO9, which is the... God, I don't even know how I would describe IO9. One of the Gawker media sites is the best I'm going to do. How would you guys do sci-fi?
Sci-fi geekery. For the modern person.
But for the modern person, yeah. Except that they,
too.
Yeah, fantasy. I know they do. I feel like I'm constantly clicking through to like the
like genre.
Medieval history articles that they're writing. It's fabulous. I love IO9.
Yes.
I love IO9. IO9, of all of the Gawker media sites, somewhat recently, it wrote like a screed about using cold water only.
Oh, wow.
That got a lot of attention. And so
then.
The Deadspin readers, when I was doing laundry school, wanted to know my thoughts on it. And I mean, my thoughts are, if IO9 tells me to do something, I'm going to do it. Because otherwise they're going to sick the dragons on me.
Right, yeah.
Right, I think they've got the dragons. So that's it.
Like,
but so the Sweet Home feels that way too. I mean, it's, you know, it'll save energy. It's one thing that Lee pointed out in the guide was that it's better for your clothes. It's going to cause less wear and tear than the hot water. That is especially true. I bang on this all the time for my readers. That is especially true of any kind of garments that have elastic in them. So mm-hmm. your gym gear, which is inevitably also like your expensive stuff too, right? Your gym gear, at least my gym gear is expensive.
Oh, yeah.
For ladies, your bras. I mean, I would just prefer you didn't put your bras in the machine, generally speaking.
That's
but I live
just
in
try
the
not
world.
To dry.
Like, yeah, I feel definitely like, do not put it in the dry. Yeah. I mean, I wrote a thing for Cosmo. Listen, if you're going to wash your bras in the machine, I wrote a piece for Cosmo recently with the things you need to know if you're going to do that. So I live in the real world with you. I know that you do that. I also want to tell you that I just went for a bra fitting. We're going to get real and personal with Jolie. I just went for a bra fitting at Intimacy. I haven't bought new bras there in over 3 years. So the lifespan of a bra is never supposed to be more than 3 years. That's like the end of it. My Intimacy bras, not all of my bras, but my Intimacy bras, my last set, are well over 3 years old. They're probably four. The lady who is fitting me, whose job it is to like bra shame me into buying all new bras, took a look at the three original Intimacy bras I had and was like, these are in such good shape, you can keep wearing these.
Wow.
And I was like, well, they're over 3 years old. And she was like, doesn't matter, you take very good care of your bras, so listen.
Amazing.
To me, I live this. And
what a credit to you.
Yeah. And they're expensive, so I'm glad that I got that.
They're expensive. Mm-hmm. Things,
they're, yeah, very expensive. I mean, I spend money on my bras because I, yeah,
you gotta.
I just do. You gotta. So in any event, so yeah, so that's the bra thing. So anything with elastic in it, yeah, avoid the hot or warm water. Stick with cold, generally speaking. I mean, unless you really have a heavily soiled item. And I mean, something has to be pretty dirty to qualify as heavily soiled. The heavy thing, we're running out of time, but I do want to touch on this last thing because I think it's pretty interesting and helpful for people. We talked about not using too much detergent. Your detergent should be determined in large part by how big the load of laundry is, which makes sense if you stop and think about it, but most people don't stop and think about it. That's okay. And so Lee had a very helpful little chart in the detergent buying guide about how to measure a load of laundry. Mm-hmm. So they're measured by weight. She suggests, if you want to be this compulsive about it, using a bathroom scale to see how heavy your load is and determine it. A small load is 4 to 8 pounds. A medium load is 8 to 12 pounds. That's probably what most of us will have for any given wash that we're doing. A large load is 12 to 15 pounds. That's probably when you're going to find your jeans, your sweatshirts, your towels, things that are heavier. And then extra large, which I think Lee described as gargantuan, again, with that sort of human element that I love so much about the Sweet Home.
But that's when you get into that area where people aren't, like, I mean, if you're doing a load that large, really think about it. I recommend people take a step back.
Yeah, do two loads.
Right. I need to separate a little bit.
Yeah.
But she also, I think, mentioned in there, so those are the sizes that are developed by the scientists who work on the detergents. Also check the basket or the loading of your machine to understand like where they mark small, medium, and large. So you can kind of like use
both to
get it just right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of front loaders, it's a bit harder to see those lines, right? Mm-hmm. Or do they even have them in a front loader?
Those machines usually can weigh themselves.
Oh, okay.
So they understand, like the machine knows
the machine
how much water
knows
to add based on the weight. So with those, I think the chart is pretty handy
because
then it's kind of like a rule of thumb.
Right.
You know, you can just, in a pinch, figure
it
out.
I don't think I said what the extra large is. So extra large is 15 to 20 pounds. Mm-hmm. If you, listen, 20, don't put 20 pounds worth of stuff in one wash cycle. Separate them. Do two 10-pound loads.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a good note to end on. Every week I'm like, how is this over already? I want more. I could be here with you guys all day. Hopefully I will have you back. So I would like to say a huge thank you to my guests today, Casey Johnston and Cesar Torres of The Sweet Home.
Thanks for having us.
This
thank
was
you.
Great. Fascinating.
We'll come back anytime. We're just down
course.
The street.
Yeah. You mean, you guys should just have your own show, too. And then I can be a guest on that. And it'll be one big happy family.
Of course.
Thank you also to my engineer, Jack Inslee, and to our sponsor, Fairway. Today's music was provided by RecTech. If you like what you heard today, please consider subscribing on iTunes and leaving me a rating and telling your friends about my weird little cleaning show that you love so much. Please also go and read The Sweet Home, because it's also great. Mostly, I would like, of course, to thank you, my listeners. I'm Jolie Kerr, and this has been Ask a Clean Person, the podcast. Next up is a clip from the food scene.
And I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I said that there wasn't always a part of me that had this like daydream fantasy of being somebody in entertainment, but entertainment never really seemed like a viable option.
On episode 201 of The Food Scene, YouTube sensation Hannah Hart examines the way that the internet helped kickstart her career.
It seemed totally impractical. It's like, what am I going to do? I'm going to go out there and like put myself through all that disappointment, all that judgment, all that criticism to try and be, I don't even know, a cog in a wheel of a giant system? No, that doesn't seem good, but I do like making people laugh, and I do like talking to people. And YouTube, blessedly, was that open door. It's kind of like pen and paper, right? So, like, when back when they invented pen and paper, everybody was using pen and paper for different things. And not everybody was using pen and paper to, like, write a book or write a newspaper or do something like that. I think that what's so awesome about YouTube is that you can make videos for your friends still. Like, you can do what you want online and post it, and it doesn't have to be for the goal of gaining a million subscribers. It really doesn't. And I hope that people don't lose sight of that now that it's kind of become more mainstream.
If you want to hear the rest of Hannah's interview, check out the rest of episode 201 of The Food Scene. And if you're interested in listening to more amazing interviews about the food and restaurant worlds, you can find hundreds of episodes of The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org and iTunes.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.